Good morning. Welcome to Palm Sunday. Please turn in your hymnals to number 312. Jesus is coming, or you can sing it from the screen, but I think they're going to show the kids on the screen. 312, Jesus is coming. Please stand as you're able.
Jesus is coming, lead the way with righteousness.
Remain standing and turn in your hymnals to 313. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the right next door.
Children for participating in that. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this service of Toronto United Mennonite Church. Here, church on the ground and church in the cloud. I'm Doreen Martins, and I'll be leading worship today. Tumpsy is a community in the Anabaptist Peace Church tradition. We aspire to be a family of faith that welcomes diversity as we worship together, support one another, and together follow Christ's example in working for peace and justice in our urban context. So I want to welcome everyone, whether you're on a screen this morning or here in this building. It does feel especially festive to be here today. Can you believe it's been the last time we had palm branches waving here was in 2019. And it is really wonderful to see that again, and very joyful for me. Thank you to the Sunday school teachers, by the way, for helping to organize that. Kids, and to the parents for bringing them this morning. I also want to thank our tech team today, who is Ted Steinberg here in our presence and Donnie Chung online. I hope those of you in the cloud were able to see the kids carrying the palm branches. If you're a guest today, we would love to meet you. If there's anyone who is new here with us today, we invite you, if you feel comfortable, to stand up and introduce yourself. If you're online, you can use the chat function to introduce yourself. Is there anyone who's a guest and like to be known?
This is my friend Louisa.
Welcome. Good to have you with us. Is there anyone online? Any chat? Okay. All right. We do have a number of announcements this morning. I am taking it as a sign that we're getting back to some kind of normalcy, that we have a lot of announcements. But we have this morning, we have Shannon, Milena, Mauricio, and Pastor Peter to make announcements.
Good morning, everyone. It is Holy Week, and I would like to let you know what we have planned for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. On Friday, we invite everyone who feels like a little bit of walking to join us for an intergenerational Good Friday story walk in the park just by the church. We're going to be gathered to tell the story and then through stations in the park and then return to the building to talk about Good Friday itself. Please dress for the weather, whatever that weather may be. If it's really terrible, we'll come into the church to do it here as well. And the path is somewhat muddy, so think about that as well as you're considering your attendance. And in the evening, we will have a joint service with the Mennonite New Life congregation at 7 p.m. And that will be here in the building, and we're also going to live stream it for wider participation. And that service will include communion. And on Easter Sunday, please gather here for the next part of the story.
Well, folks, the weather is a whole lot warmer today than it was on March 12th. If you did not make it out to the Just Transition event, or if you found it was too cold to take your gloves off and sign a petition at that event, you have another opportunity. We have several meetings booked with our local MPs for this coming week, and we need at least another 15 signatures to be able to present our petitions. So I invite anyone who is in agreement with our government bringing us an act that would ensure oil workers, other workers, all people, that no one is left behind as we transition away from oil and gas for a fossil-free future. If you agree with those statements, please come sign my petition after the service. Thank you.
That's great to hear that you're meeting with people. Glad to hear that. Project Neutral, all the people that filled out or have joined Project Neutral, we are re-inputting our data by the end of Lent. So this is your kind of final reminder. Also, you can sign up, and if you want to sign up, let me know. And yeah, we're going to have a little kingdom report on it on the 24th as well, so you can look forward to that.
Mauricio online. Here it comes. Yes. Well, hello. Good morning. So I just want to let you know that I posted on the page of the of our community that a refugee family that this that Tomsi has helped to come to Canada, they arrived safely on Thursday. We're very happy and glad that they are here. And I want to thank you all for your help and in the name of the family. And so we got to get them an apartment on Friday, which actually at the building, they told us that we broke a record of getting at the apartment from visiting in the morning to get the keys in the afternoon. So it was all done during the day on Friday, which was mind blowing in a certain way. And on Saturday, people really generously responded with items. So we got to get many things, the apartment almost furnished. So thank you again for all your generosity in the name of this family. At this point, I don't think I don't have clarity exactly what else is needed. So I'm meeting this afternoon again with the family. And if there is any additional need, I will be asking the community. So for now, let's say that we don't need anything at this point, but I will be letting the community know if there is any additional needs, specific needs. So thank you again.
Thank you. We are mindful that we worship on land that is the heritage of the Haudenosaunee, Wyandot, Mississaugog nations, among others. And as beneficiaries of a violent colonial history, we recognize our responsibility to uphold treaty relationships and to be guided by the principles of truth-telling and reconciliation. In the past week or so, we have been confronted with a lot of news that reflects the thirst for power and the abuses of power. You got a glimpse of some of those if you were watching the screen before the service started. We heard with gladness that the head of the Catholic Church has apologized for the abuse of Indigenous children in the residential schools, seeking reconciliation, or at least the beginnings of reconciliation, after years of denying the truth. On the other hand, we have also seen horrifying images coming out of Ukraine as Russian armies leave a trail of desolation. And again, there is denial of the truth. And there are struggles for power in places like Ethiopia that are not so visible, but no less horrendous. And today we recall what is perhaps the antithesis of that: the arrival of Jesus into Jerusalem, sometimes called the triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. But he rides in not like a conquering hero on a prancing stallion, but as a humble servant on a lowly donkey. Today's theme is from power over to power with. When we truly seek God's way, we move from an understanding of power that's all about controlling others or grasping for control of others to an understanding that true power comes from working with and for others in love. Let us turn to our call to worship, which should appear on the screen. And I will ask you all to join in reading the bold print. Together we seek the way of God, a way so different from the ways of this world. We praise a God we cannot see, and celebrate a salvation we do not understand. We cry, blessed is the one who comes in the power of God's name. Let's turn to Voices Together, number 315, and JD will lead us.
315, all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King.
Stand as you're able.
refrain.
We are reminded this Sunday, as in all the Sundays in Lent, that every time we think we have God's ways all figured out and neatly boxed up, God has something more to reveal to us, infinitely more. And the Reimer Schmidt family are going to open the next box for us this morning.
Your ways, O God, are higher than our ways.
Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
We seek God's ways.
Lord, move us away from the seeking power to control others. Instead, let us use power with them to bring healing and wholeness to everyone.
Now our friends Yama and Puppy are back again with us this week. Kids, if you're here with us, you can look up at the screen. And if you're participating online, come a little closer to the screen so you can see and hear. And if you don't have children with you when you're on Zoom, maybe you could just turn your camera off for a few minutes and turn them back on after the story so that the children will come to the front.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw.
If I didn't know better, I'd say that there was a donkey somewhere.
I do a pretty good donkey imitation, don't I?
Yes, but why?
Because our story is about Jesus and a donkey.
Jesus must have really liked animals. He talked about being a mother hen and a good shepherd, and now we have a donkey story?
Yep. In this story, Jesus tells his followers to go borrow a donkey colt that has never been ridden, and to bring the colt to him. So they do.
What did he want with the colt?
He wanted to ride him.
But the colt had never been ridden before. Wasn't that a bit risky?
Like you said, Jesus loved animals. He and the colt got along just fine.
Where did they go on their ride?
Into Jerusalem. The people thought Jesus was a king, so he rode a donkey into Jerusalem rather than a big, beautiful horse.
I'm confused.
Normally, a king would ride a big, strong horse to show off how powerful the king was. Jesus is the most powerful king ever, but his power is in his love for people. So it was very symbolic that he rode a donkey and not a horse.
And you said Jesus is the most powerful king ever?
Most certainly, without a doubt.
This Jesus is an interesting guy.
He is the Son of God, the Savior, the Prince of Peace, the one who makes all the difference in the world.
But how does he make a difference?
Let me think about that. Okay. Let's imagine that Jesus is here today and he wants to walk into town with an animal escorting him. Who would he choose to escort him?
A llama, because we're elegant and beautiful and we would protect him and we would spit on anyone who might try and hurt him.
Or he might just stroll into town with a bouncy puppy beside him.
That doesn't seem very dignified. And it doesn't show his power.
The thing about Jesus is that he doesn't exert power over people. He's all about power with people. It's not about spitting at people. It's about walking with them and loving each other.
I see. It doesn't require bouncing, does it?
Only if you feel it in your bones. And with Jesus, I think that just might happen.
Can you think of an example when love was more powerful than force?
Is it easier for you to get your way through kindness or through force? Thank you.
See you next week.
Thank you. If you turned off your camera, you can turn it back on again now so that we can see your lovely faces, and we will turn to our hymn of the month.
You will have learned the Korean last time with Jeff, but I'll just remind you of the one verse in Korean that we'll sing, and then we'll sing three verses in English. Oh, so, so, oh, so, so, pwangwa, ye, gum, uri, ga, ham, nom, iruge, ha, so, so. It's 391 in the hymnal, 391 in Voices Together.
Love has power beyond what we imagine. One of the ways we exercise the power of love is through our giving, through the ministries we support. Think of the power that we have to change lives when we give to Aurora House, our ministry to people who have experienced exploitation and trafficking, or St. Clair O'Connor, our ministry to seniors, Mennonite Central Committee doing peace, relief, and development work around the world, or to our sponsorships of refugees, or Christian peacemaker teams, or all the ministries of the wider church through Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. Love in action is powerful, and we are grateful for the faithfulness of this congregation in supporting these efforts where God is at work. Many of you give digitally through monthly withdrawals or an e-transfer, which you can send to treasurer@tumsi.ca. Also, we have a donation station at the back for gifts of cash or check. Let us take a moment to bless these gifts in prayer. Holy One, as you are faithful to us, may we be faithful to you. Faithful with our time and energy, faithful with our possessions and wealth. Receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to make real your reign of love, justice, and peace in our world. Amen. Let's turn now to our first scripture reading, a familiar and powerful story from Luke 19, verses 29 to 40. Now, this story begins in the village of Bethany, which I saw from a distance 2 years ago, just before the pandemic started. I was in Jerusalem, and I walked alone from the temple area up the Mount of Olives and on through an Arab neighborhood, and just a little beyond, out of sight of the temple, and then came smack up against that enormous separation wall that divides the powerful from the powerless on the other side. I couldn't go any farther, but I could see the biblical site of Bethany just beyond that wall. So close and yet so far from Jerusalem. And I think of that short distance when I think of this text as Jesus riding on a donkey travels in the other direction towards Jerusalem. Jesus was approaching the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, which are near the Mount of Olives. He sent two of the disciples ahead. "Go to the next village," he told them, "and when you enter, you will find a colt tied there, a foal of a donkey that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you're untying it, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So the two disciples found things just as he had told them. When its owners did indeed ask why they were untying the donkey, the disciples answered as they'd been instructed, "The Lord needs it." They brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their coats on its back, and then helped Jesus sit on it. As Jesus rode along, some people began to spread their garments on the road, kind of like a red carpet. When they passed the crest of the Mount of Olives and began descending toward Jerusalem, a huge crowd of disciples began to celebrate and praise God with loud shouts, glorifying God for the mighty works they had witnessed. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." Now, some Pharisees in the crowd were disturbed by this display. "Teacher," they said, "tell these people to stop making these wild claims and acting this way." But Jesus told them, "I'm telling you, if they were silent, the very stones would shout out." So ends the reading. I will ask Pastor Peter to come up now and lead us in sharing and prayer.
Let's pray together. God, we know so much. We see to the distant stars. We see down to tiny microbes. We can look into the mysteries of the past. We can connect with foreign lands, but we ourselves remain small and boundaried and vulnerable in the way that you have made us, and in the way that you have come to be with us in our smallness, in our vulnerability. Help us to rest in your way of power, the way of solidarity and accompaniment. Heal us and preserve us from the impact of what we know, the places in the world where there is pain and strife, the places in our lives that we cannot find reconciliation. Heal our minds and our bodies and our souls of the weight of this knowing and of our addiction to unhelpful power. May we follow instead your peacemaking way of justice, giving no ground to violence, praying for our enemies, helping our wounded neighbors, and inviting your grace into our own wounded and conflicted lives. Ride into our lives in your joy and your majesty, in your chaotic revelry, bringing excitement into the places where we have constructed careful walls, bringing healing into the places where we have hidden our pain. Ride in, Lord Jesus. We pray as a community for the many manifestations and the ministries of God's kingdom, for the St. Clair O'Connor community, for our small groups and our committees, for our staff and volunteers, for Aurora House, for the Beaches Interfaith Ministerial and the GTA Mennonite Ministerial, for Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, and for all of our ecumenical global community. Within our community, we pray for Susan Brandt, mother to John and grandmother to Ezra and Annie. We pray for Bob and Anita Thiessen. We pray for Carolyn Lowen in her caring for her mother. God, hold these beloved ones in your hand and in your heart, and bring your healing spirit into each life. Do we have other prayers that we should share at this time? Then, in the name of Jesus, who gathers all of our prayers together, all of our hopes and our longings and our fears, brings them together in one place to show us that it is not too big for God, we lift up these prayers that are spoken and unspoken to you, God, Lord of all, to come into our lives and to renew us again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And let us join our prayers to those in the Lenten prayer of confession. Invite you again to read the bold print. Holy One, we seek you while you may be found. Have mercy on us, O God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. As we walk with Christ on this Lenten journey, let us see your way more clearly. Follow your way more faithfully. Jeff Taylor will offer our reading from the epistles this morning, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. And following that, Gary Harder will bring us the message.
In our dealings with one another, can we take the approach that Jesus, the chosen one, took? He had always been in the same form as God. And yet, he did not insist on retaining the power and privileges of equal station with God. He gave up his godly power and poured his nature into a different form, our form. And actually, he assumed the most opposite station of that so-called Son of God he could by taking on the form of a low-ranking servant, serving even the likes of us. In fact, he went further than that. He humbled himself all the way to an execution on a Roman cross as a dangerous insurrectionist. And it is because of this, because Jesus was willing to sink so low, even into the garbage incinerator of souls to rescue some of our kind, that God raised him back to the land of living, and beyond that, to the very highest station in the heavens. And God gave him a new name that ranks above every other name, so that, all in good time, every creature in the sky and on the land and in the seas will humble themselves before him, and call out their confession, Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father.
Yes, may the grace of that Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The theme given for this Sunday is from power over to power with. My a bit of a playful sub-theme is of war horses and donkeys. From power over to power with, power. Power for good, power for evil, healing power, abusive power, the power of saviors, the power of abusers, and in today's story, the power of a donkey and the power of a warhorse. As I reflect on power, I think of that old beloved hymn that didn't make it into our new hymn book, one written by Bortnianski, who was born in the Ukraine. That hymn, O power of love, all else transcending, in Jesus present evermore. I worship thee in homage bending, thy name to honor and adore. Yea, let my soul in deep devotion bathe in love's mighty boundless ocean. Bathe in love's mighty boundless ocean. I love that image. Can it give us some sense of God's power, of the power of love in our very troubled world? We will sing that hymn at the conclusion of the sermon. On this Palm Sunday, our world mostly hears the thunder of war horses. Well, make that artillery shells and bombs and missiles and tanks and massacres, much more than it hears the gentle clip-clop of a donkey. We will get to the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, but first we go to one of the other scripture readings assigned, one we did not read yet this morning. We need to go to Psalm 31. Hear in it the pain of the people of Israel and the pain of the people of the Ukraine and the pain of the people of our world. Be gracious to our world, O Lord, for we are in distress. Our eyes waste away in grief, soul and body also. Our life is spent in sorrow and our years with sighing. Our strength fails because of our misery and our bones waste away and there is terror all around. Psalm 31, 9 and 10. And in the middle of all that violence and suffering and despair in the world of the psalmist, in the world of Jesus and in our world, we read a story of a donkey, an ass of all things, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a war horse. Ah, the absurdity of how God works in our world, the absurdity of where power really lies. But permit just a touch of humor on this bleak worldscape. I suppose if Michelle could a few weeks ago focus a whole sermon around an angry, protective, clucking mother hen, I can risk crafting a sermon around a donkey. I probably should have consulted with Lori and Dora, who know donkeys far better than I do. Is a donkey always a symbol of peace? I kind of doubt that.
What did jump immediately to my mind when I read the Palm Sunday story of Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem was that other donkey story told in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the story of the speaking donkey. We think of braying donkeys, but this one speaks. And it's a great humor-filled story told in a very grim time, a Ukrainian invasion kind of time. I'm sure Jesus would have known that story and would have laughed out loud over the delightful absurdity of it. My hunch is that the Palm Sunday crowd accompanying Jesus on that ride into Jerusalem would also have been reminded of that earlier story and would have smiled and cheered in delight. The story? A wonderful tale of God using a donkey to foil the evil scheming of a terrified king. Moabite King Balak was facing a flood of Israelite refugees and feared that they would one day become powerful enemies. They were, after all, a rather prolific people. Moaned the king, a people have come out of Egypt. They have spread over the face of the earth and have settled next to me. And in his terror, Balak tried to hire the prophet Balaam to cast a curse on these Israelites. And he sent bags of gold to entice Balaam to go to Moab to cast his curses. Well, Balaam, being a praying prophet, prayed about this, and God said, no, don't do it. So at first, Balaam says no to Balak, who then promises him yet more gold, yet more honors, if only he will curse the Israelites. Finally, Balaam, overwhelmed by all the glitter of so much gold, agrees to do the cursing. But an angry and very ticked off God sent an angel with a sword to block the road. Balaam, the prophet, could not see the angel and the sword, the immense danger he was in, but his donkey could. The prophet, who officially is called the seer, couldn't see the angel, but his donkey could. Ah, the humor of God. Seeing the danger, the donkey veered off the field, and angry Balaam beats it. Next, the angel stood at a narrow point between two vineyards. And to avoid decapitation, the donkey scraped against a wall, hurting Balaam's feet. Well, now Balaam is getting very ticked off. Another whack. A third time, the angel stood with sword in hand at the narrowest place in the road, leaving no escape route. So the donkey just lies down. Furious, Balaam beats the donkey mercilessly. And suddenly the donkey gains the power of speech. Let me tell you who the real jackass is. I'm only trying to protect you from decapitation. And at that, Balaam's eyes are finally opened, and he too saw the angel and the sword. Finally, his eyes are opened, and he says, how can I curse who God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? Finally, Balaam is ready to use his power as a prophet to work with his God and with his people. And visions of piles of gold fade away from his eyes. When will our world's eyes and our own eyes be open to God's kind of power? When will we see what God is doing? Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem, and the crowd, those who remembered that earlier story, those who caught the symbolism, cheered and cheered. The Romans would have ridiculed this display of weakness. Power is displayed on a war horse. Donkeys are the symbol of weakness. Come Friday, and the world will know who has the real power. But maybe even the Romans are starting to get a bit nervous about this donkey thing. They are perplexed. It doesn't fit in with anything they know. They know war horses, not donkeys. And what perplexes and even shocks them is that for some crazy reason, cheering crowds are following this ridiculous figure riding into town on a donkey. There is a power there they don't understand. It defies everything they know about control and imposing your will and keeping order. And then there are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the leading power brokers of the Jewish people. Their anxiety is that they too probably were reminded of that earlier story. They know about Balaam's ass. It scares them that Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on that symbol. They know what it means. It intensifies their haste to get rid of this upstart who is threatening all of their own power. The Zealots, especially known as the violent ones, their whole worldview is shaped by ingenious ways to kill off Roman soldiers. Violence is the only solution to injustice. They ridicule the pathetic image of a supposed savior humiliatingly riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the crowd? They are cheering. They're yelling, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven." They catch it. They celebrate it. They will embrace this kind of king. They can see what is unfolding before their eyes. Back to the Romans. They're a bit nervous, a bit on edge. They can't even imagine the scene they are witnessing. They know war horses. They don't know donkeys. And they don't understand all the power this Jesus has to draw such a crowd of people shouting Hosanna. They're a bit on edge, unsettled, anxious, not to let this absurdity escalate. They can't see beyond military power. And we too read again, read this Palm Sunday story and ponder its relevance to our world. Our violence-filled world. What is it we see? What kind of power are we hoping for? Which story do we embrace? Our theme for today, written boldly, is from power over to power with. We do have power. We all have power. Some of us more than others of us. How do we acknowledge and embrace our own power in positive, life-giving ways, in ways which are not abusive, in ways that bring healing and hope and love to our world? So much to ponder, from power over to power with. I am particularly sensitive to the power that we pastors, even retired pastors, have. We are just now becoming publicly aware that another very major Anabaptist pastor and leader in the greater metropolitan Toronto area has been charged with and has now admitted to using his power for sexual advantage over several women. These stories are not new. They are just all way too frequent. We read again the powerful hymn Paul sent to the Jesus followers in the Philippian church. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Peter, one of those first disciples of Jesus, just really couldn't see this, at least not at first. A few days later, a few days after Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, Peter picked up a sword. And perhaps because he was untrained, only managed to slice off an ear of one of those who had come for Jesus, an ear rather than a head, fortunately. And then he denied even knowing this Jesus who had just been arrested. But gradually, over time, he too had his eyes open to where the power of God was going. Contradicting everything he had been taught, all his religious upbringing, he entered the home of Cornelius, the Gentile, and opened the church to outsiders. A powerful new seeing, a powerful new embrace of God's way of working in our world. From power over to power with. Peter and Cornelius now working together, now working as a team, Jew and Gentile together, showing the world what God was doing, showing the world God's power, showing the power of love. Where do we see the power of God at work today in our lives, in the church, in our world? Where do we need to find partners in furthering God's work in our world? Last week, and Doreen already mentioned this, or showed it this morning, last week was a rather momentous week in the relationship between Indigenous peoples and the Catholic Church. Finally, there was a papal apology for the horrendous damage done Indigenous children in the residential school system. Lydia and I have had the privilege of hearing some of these kinds of gruesome stories told to us by our son-in-law's parents who survived the residential school system. Said the Pope, "For the deplorable conduct of those members of the Catholic Church, I ask for forgiveness, and I want to say to you with all my heart, I am very sorry." And that's very powerful. There is an immense power in confession and in forgiveness. And there were many tears at that point and much embrace of this moment in Rome. Of course, though, for many Indigenous leaders, this confession is only a beginning of the healing of relationship, a very important beginning, a first step perhaps, but almost empty if it just stays there. Where, they ask, is the culpability of the church in this? The church as an institution, not only pointing to the abuse of individuals, of individual priests and nuns. The church as a community and as an institution too must be held accountable, not only the abuse of people in the church. Our theology, our power as a church with its institutions must be acknowledged and critically examined. But then, of course, we will have to talk about money, about lawsuits, about financial settlements that will and must come, and will come, I think. And yet the apology is a very much needed and very powerful beginning to the process. There is a huge power in confession and in forgiveness. These are at the heart of expressing love. Loving God, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves, loving even our enemies. Question, does loving our enemies include loving the Russians? Many of whom are suffering the loss of their sons in the war. Amber Bracken, a Canadian photographer, won the 2022 World Press Photo of the Year. Her photo, red dresses hang on crosses on a roadside commemorating the children who died at the Kamloops Indian Residential School in BC. A faint rainbow is seen at the edge of the picture. Just a hint of hope. The photo is absorbing, powerful, hopeful. There is a donkey in that awful and yet powerful story of Jesus expressing God's love for the whole world. A rainbow, as it were, hope for our world. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a symbol of peace and of love. There will be a crucifixion, but there will also be a resurrection, the ultimate triumph of that love. O power of love, all else transcending, in Jesus present evermore. Yea, my soul in deep devotion, bathe in love's mighty, boundless ocean. Amen.
Let us sing that hymn, O Power of Love. Please stand as you're able.
We're aware that the pandemic is not over. Now, a couple of people who were supposed to participate in the service this morning are not here because of it. Fortunately, they're fine, but not here. And so as we leave today, we ask you to please put on your coat and go visit outdoors. It's just a lot safer for us. So we would appreciate it if everyone who doesn't have to be here to clean up can do that. If you're participating in the cloud this morning, you are invited to stay on for online lobby time. Pastor Michelle is online today, so if you want to chat with her, you can do that. You can also just unmute yourself to enjoy some informal conversation. Please remain standing for the benediction. and our sending song to follow. From this time and place into whatever awaits, may you follow God's way of empowerment. May you resist the temptation to hold power over others and learn to exercise power with others in love. As you go, know that our God of the wilderness goes with you on the way. Amen.
Hymn number 580, 580, to leave the stones unthrown.